Military, welcome to your next mission video podcast. Military families are the backbone of our military, but sometimes challenges such as financial insecurities, relocations, or multiple deployments make it difficult for to provide the emotional and social logistical support needed for our service members. Today we'll hear from the Chief Executive Officer of the leading military family organization in the country about these challenges and what they are doing to support those military families. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Your Next Mission Video Podcast, where we tell the stories of those who have served in the past and those who are serving today. From transition to financial wellness, VA benefits to mental health, we cover issues facing veterans, active military, and their families. Now here's your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley.
Thanks for joining us, and thanks to all of our veterans and service members and families for your service to our great country. Now, before we get started, I personally want to thank our presenting sponsor, Navy Federal Credit Union, whose members are the mission, and Purdue Global, where you can start your comeback, and USAA, whose mission is taking care of a military community and their families always. With additional sponsorship from Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental and Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision, together they make your next mission happen. They love our veterans and families, and if you ever listen to the show, I always say this, we love them too. Today we're going to talk about military families and the challenges they face. And I'm excited, I'm overwhelmed, I'm pumped up to welcome Bessa Benchadi, Chief Executive Officer of the National Military Family Association, better known as NMFA. So Bessa, welcome back to the show. We're glad to have you on here.
Hello. I want to have you wake me up in the morning every day with an entrance like that.
I don't know. Sometimes I get it all messed up, but I get off to it. Hey, look here. All of us are excited to learn a lot about you. But before we ever get started, please tell the audience just a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I have been here at National Military Family Association for more than 10 years now. But the path that brought me here is a bit unusual because I grew up in a family in Texas that was an immigrant family. So my dad is from Kosovo, and I spent all of my summers growing up going back to Kosovo, spending time with my grandma, my cousins, and I would just stay there every summer for 3 months, and then I'd come back. Well, as most people know now, there was a war in Kosovo that started late 90s, but leading up to that, there was so much that I experienced during those summers. And then when the war started, I really felt helpless. Like, I was in Houston, I was with my family, and all we could do was watch from afar while my family was kicked out of their homes. Their homes were burned down and they were just marching across mountains to escape. And then I had so many family members who were killed or injured. And I remember the day that US and NATO forces decided to get involved, and I was just watching, and I was overwhelmed with just the sense of gratitude for our US military for intervening in a place that really helped save my family's lives. It's a gratitude that I wake up and I think about every single day, how grateful I am. And with that, I ended up becoming a journalist. That was sort of my path in life. And I got to go to Kosovo a year after the war with my TV station. So I went over there, and my job on that trip was that I was going to talk to our service members who were stationed there. I was working in Texas. I was supposed to find Texas service members who were stationed in Kosovo. So I did, and I started interviewing them, and all they wanted to talk about was their families and, you know, how much they missed them and how they started getting to know the families in Kosovo because they missed their own and they really missed a lot of the things that were happening back at home. And that was when it dawned on me all that families do back home. You know, you see the uniform, it's so visible. But when you're in your community, there's people at your kid's school, on your kid's soccer team, there's families who are military families, and you have no idea because they're not wearing the uniform, but they're doing so much for us all. And that path actually took me, that journalism path took me to Eastern North Carolina. I moved there outside of Lejeune. Everyone said, oh, Marines, be careful over there. I have one piece of advice. Whatever you do, don't marry one. Don't marry one.
Oh, don't marry one. That's right.
Whatever you do.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I met one, and of course I married him. But anyway, that's a whole nother story and a whole nother path. But I was at Lejeune. I was outside, and the war in Iraq started like right when I got there. So a lot of what I did every single day was I was there for the deployments. I was there for the homecomings. I was there for the casualties and for all of the stresses and difficulties that the families were having during that war. I had a front row seat. And of course, I was marrying into the military myself, but not really thinking about that piece because it was still new to me. But these families were going through so much. And then as our path took us out of military life, my husband had a spinal injury. We started having a family of our own. So he was medically retired and I wanted to have a little bit more time with my kids. We moved to DC, which is where his family's from. And I tried another job and I did it for a while, tried doing tech, and I just kept getting pulled back to the community that I loved. So the tech company I worked for sent me on a sabbatical, which that they don't do that in nonprofits. That's a tech world thing. They were like, go take 5 weeks off and, you know, kind of find yourself. But I went and I came back and I just said, you know, I did find myself. And what I found is that I want to go do what speaks to my heart. And that's how I ended up back here at National Military Family Association.
Yeah. A couple of things. I wrote them down. I got a little notebook here. So if you see me writing anything down, it's because I can't remember most of this stuff. First thing is, I went into Bosnia when they signed a Dayton Peace Agreement. I was part of the forces that went in there. And so I'll never forget all the, just all the stuff. I mean, when one vehicle's moving to one nothing, so that's probably another show. The other thing is that you really talked a lot of, what we're going to talk about today is the family separation. I remember the fact that just to get one letter at the time, that was years ago, and now it's an email or something like that, but just to get one message from your family, how much that meant to, not just to me, but all the people around me, that's for sure. And then, of course, we're going to talk about this, too, is the family separation. I mean, that's, you know, I was, as you're talking again, I'm thinking about all the Christmases, all the Thanksgivings, all the times that you miss. And so families, when we're talking about families, it's such an important issue for all of us. I just said it to you. You know, I love talking about military families because it's the strength of our military and our country. So I guess the question that I have for you is, what are you hearing about it? What's going on with the military families and what's the climate like now?
Military families are having, I would say, two main struggles right now. One is financial security. The other is mental well-being. Those are huge. I say two, like it's these two little things, but don't those just overarch every single piece of your life? There's so much uncertainty with the economy right now, and that is impacting everyone. But when you're a military family and you're moving to an unknown place with unknown people and you're trying to figure it all out, and it's expensive when you move and you're starting over and over and over again, that brings a lot of stress on your family. So that piece is definitely something that I know you understand. Anyone who's been in the military for a while understands it's that stress of moving and leaving your support systems behind over and over and over again. And then, of course, that trickles down into all kinds of things like military spouse employment and how that impacts your finances. And then, you know, when you can't make ends meet, you're not doing well mentally. And it even impacts you physically. So we're hearing this from spouses. We're hearing it from kids. And what we hear from our service members is that they're worried about their families back at home. They're worried about making ends meet too, and what this toll is, what the price is that their kids are gonna pay. And we know that these military kids in our military families are the ones most likely to join the military in the future. So we're talking about kids today, but these are our future leaders of tomorrow. So we're really focused on those two areas and what we can do to support.
Yeah, sometimes you don't even know the impact on your kids or your family until you get out of the service too. I mean, especially moving all around and doing all those other things. And so, and if there's when you're deployed, you've got to be focused on what your mission is. And it's not a distractor, but if you have problems back at home and there's things going on with your family, I remember one time I was in a school and my company commander called me just talking about something. He says, how's your wife doing? I said, she's doing pretty good. How's that wreck she got into? I said, what wreck? She had a wreck. Oh, scared the crap out of me.
You didn't even know.
She didn't tell me. She didn't even bring it up. She said, I don't want to bother him. My goodness. So yeah, I tell people this all the time. Families sacrifice so much for our military and for just like we said just a minute ago for our country. It's unbelievable, and I got so much respect for all the military, all the people that serve, but they just continue to give for this country, for all of us, all the time. Hey, Bess, I understand recently you participated in the House Armed Services Committee discussion about the quality of life issues, and I'm sure it hadn't changed, and maybe it's changed a little bit since I got out. Let's talk about that. Tell me a little bit about that discussion with those guys.
Yeah, I think that one thing that has changed is that there's a lot more attention on the issue now. Unfortunately, there's all these external factors that keep making things harder and harder. But the House Armed Services Quality of Life Panel, this is out of the House Armed Services Committee on the Hill, they created this panel, bipartisan, and it was all about figuring out what are those biggest issues of military family quality of life and what can we do about them. So this was created late 2023 and the work went on all through 2024. And we were able to go and participate and share what we're seeing, what military families are struggling with from our perspective. We also brought military families there so they could talk about it in their own words, especially things like childcare and what that's doing for their lives. And in certain locations, it's way more difficult on every level. Places like San Diego, for example, we hear a lot of difficulty there. So we brought all of these families, we brought our recommendations, we worked with those offices on the Hill, and they came out with these recommendations mid to late last year. They had a long list of recommendations, more than 30, and we spent months with them going to convince the Senate that these needed to happen. This needed to be looked at as a whole, because it's easy to take one recommendation and say, yeah, we're going to do this or we're going to do that. But this was a holistic look at how all of these things are interconnected and how it needed to be passed as a package. So not every single one of them was passed, but more than 28 of them were, which is monumental. It's huge. And the thing that I loved about it most is when we were working with that group, you couldn't tell who was a Republican. You couldn't tell who was a Democrat. Everyone was there for the same reason. It was actually wild. And I know, like, if you have been around Congress, Capitol Hill, and I know that you have as well, there aren't many rooms that feel that way, where you really have both sides fully invested. And the biggest thing that was passed through that Quality of Life Initiative, which, you know, was the toughest to get across the finish line, was a 14.5% pay increase for junior enlisted. We looked at the food insecurity numbers in particular and who was struggling the most. And that evidence was very compelling. And so that increase goes into effect in April.
Yeah. One of the things I'll tell you is that I've been out of the Army now over 20 years. One of the things that's really funny, the issues that we had back 20 years ago are probably the same issues that we're working on now. And so the other thing I tell you is, I always just tell people you can only take on one or two or three things to get it done. If you take on 28 or 30, sometimes I think they get lost in the process there a little bit. So that's always a little bit difficult. The other thing is, I hate to say this, but I'm going to say this during peacetime. You know, the military needs a lot of money and the families need a lot of money and they struggle to get it. So when they start making cuts, I think sometimes they cut those family type programs to save money for our war fighters. Okay, I understand that. But in wartime, they give us all the money. We just don't have the time to use that money. It's too late. I mean, we need to start implementing programs that talk about or have those in place so we can make sure our families are taken care of. I got to tell you one story. When I was in in Germany. I was getting ready to deploy to Bosnia. And they said, we're going to have to close the gyms. What? We got to close the gyms. I said, why? Because we don't have money to, first. I said, well, I'll put a soldier in there. And then they was going to close the buses. I said, why? Or stop the buses for transportation. I said, why? I said, I'll put it, because they don't have the money to do that. So it's a balancing act about funding and stuff. So we got to make sure that we have an accurate amount of money that the service members need. So it's a struggle all the time. Yeah, what you're doing now or what you're working on now, I don't think it's changed for the last 50 years. Those issues have always been there. So it's really a big issue, and I'm glad people like yourself are working on it. And I'm trying to do my little part off to the side, but it's tough. But we got to do more about taking care of our families and our service members. That's for sure. Hey, when we come back from this short break, we're going to take. I love talking to you. I like to dig into a little bit deeper about military spouse employment. You talked on it just a little bit, so let's. You stay right there. I know you're not going to go. You're not
going
to go
anywhere. I'm not
right?
going anywhere.
All right. Please stay there. I'll be right back. This is Your Next Mission video podcast with me, your host, Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. If you're enjoying this discussion, if you're not, something's wrong, because we're talking about military families. Please like us. Click on that subscribe button below. And be sure to click on the bell to receive notifications of all of our upcoming video podcast releases. I'll be right back after this word from our presenting sponsors.
You're watching Your Next Mission video podcast, proudly presented by Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Their members are the mission. Purdue Global. You're ready for a comeback, and with Purdue Global, you can do more than take classes. You can take charge of your story, of your career, of your life. Earn a degree you can be proud of and get an education employers respect. Start your comeback at PurdueGlobal.edu. And USAA.
A promise is a trust not to be broken. Whether spoken with an oath or sealed with a pinky. And after 100 years, we're still taking care of the military community and their families. That's our mission, always.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're talking with Bessa Pinchotti, Chief Executive Officer of the National Military Family Association. Before we get back to our discussion, I want to let you know about a way to support the work we're doing on behalf of the veterans and families here at the American Freedom Foundation. If you have a used vehicle you're planning to get rid of, or some property you don't have any plans for, you can donate it. Visit our website at AmericanFreedomFoundation.org/donate and click on the vehicle donation button or the home donation button to support our work. We really, really, really would appreciate your support. Bessa, problems with military families really start with military spouses' employment. And it seems that it play out in military families' lives in multiple ways. Would you talk about that?
Yeah, military spouse unemployment has been at over 20% for as long as I know, for at least 2 decades. I mean, this number has not budged. And there have been so many efforts to do something about it. But I think when you just look at military life, it makes it so hard for military spouses to maintain a job. Because part of your job is kind of just doing all the stuff that your service member can't do. You're taking care of the household. You're getting your kids settled into school. You're getting them into their sports. You're finding the new doctor. You're finding every single thing in this new community. And by the time it's time to look for a job, it takes a little time. Then you start your job. Then you've barely been working and it's time to move again. And it just happens over and over and over again. There was a study that came out not too long ago where an economist at Wells Fargo looked at military families and their finances. So just family as a whole, what does it look like for military versus civilian? And the study showed that civilian families make about $14,000 a year more than military families. That is a big number when you think about more than $1,000 a month more But when you dig deeper, that was the interesting part, because a lot of times we talk about pay. We talk about our military, is our military making enough? But it wasn't even about that. When you dug deep, the answer was all at military spouse unemployment, because service member pay in a lot of cases was actually higher than civilian pay. But there's so much unpaid labor that military spouses do just for loving someone in uniform. It's what you do, and it's preventing you from making money elsewhere. And you need that to support your household. I mean, right now it's definitely two incomes to get by.
Well, you know, all the time you're talking, I'm thinking about a double-edged sword. One is they want us to help the military, and two is financially I'm not stable. So, you know, what am I going to do? So I need to work that just a little bit harder. And that's hard for you to do. I got to tell you one thing, is that I financially was never stable until my wife was working, until I was a sergeant first class. Of course, that was probably 30 years ago now. And we were just barely getting by. So we live month to month on our pay. And it was really tough. You know, it was really tough for, and I know it's probably not much different now because the cost of living is so much more now. So, hey, what do you think causes those discrepancies? So I just talked about a couple of minutes. What do you think, though, are the biggest cause of those discrepancies?
Which discrepancies? You mean from then to now, or yeah. You mean just in the civilian? Civilian population. I mean, when you, it's interesting because a lot of people cite the fact that military families move every 2 to 3 years, but when you look at the broader employment issues, most people stay in jobs for 2 to 3 years. It's not just military. So I think part of it is education for companies. I think part of it is just a lot of, you know, understanding that military families need a flexibility that maybe a civilian family may not need just because of the job that the service member is signed up to do. There was a lot of attention on veteran employment for a long time, and that number is great right now. Veteran unemployment is extremely low. So my hope, and what so many of our partners and colleagues are trying to do, is bring that same energy, attention, and focus to military spouse employment, because companies are proud to hire a veteran. They'll tell you about it. They'll put a sign up, but you don't really see much about "we are proud employers of military spouses." Every now and then you do, but it's not very frequent. And so there is something about that the message hasn't gotten across to the broader America. And there are other things too, legislatively, where we want to encourage businesses to hire military spouses. There's something called a work opportunity tax credit. And what that is it gives businesses a tax credit for hiring someone from a certain population. So right now you get that for veterans. You also get that if you hire a convicted felon. You don't get that for hiring a military spouse. And that is something that we've been pushing for.
Yeah, that's crazy. You know, I'm going to tell you the company. I used to work for a company. I gave them classes on the military. And I think what we need to do is a better job about educating the country about the military, the rank structure, what they do, their deployments, their separations, and all that stuff. Because really, quite frankly, when you look at the amount of people that serve in the military, that's a really small percentage of people that serve in the military. And so many people just don't know anything about the military, and that's really tough. And the other thing is I always see a lot of companies say, hire a veteran, we want to hire a veteran. Well, when they hire a veteran, a lot of times they want to put them at the lower paying, you know, skills that they have. They don't want to give them a, you know, pretty good job. And the people coming out of the military now, enlisted, of course the officers too, but a lot of enlisted guys come out with master's degrees and bachelors, have a lot of education. So, you know, educationally wise, they're doing a pretty good job. So we don't do a very good job. And then the last thing I think is we have a transition program for active duty military. What we ought to do is have a transition program for military spouses that's sort of in the same lines, that we do the same thing, but we've got to start a little bit earlier. And then the last thing, I'll be quiet about this, is we need to start talking about people about transitioning out of the military a lot sooner. You know, we say 2 years out. They ought to start about if you're going to be a professional, say 20 years, about your 10-year mark, you ought to really start talking about, get your education, start talking about what do you want to do. I mean, there's a lot of different things. I said one thing, I got one more thing. The other thing I think they ought to do is take a lot of those veterans and military spouses that get out, and they ought to see if they qualify for some kind of government jobs within the government. Because we teach them or train them for 20 plus years or 30 years, and then we throw them back out in the civilian sector. There's a lot of stuff there that they could help the government with quite a bit of stuff out there. That's always mind-boggling that they train you and then in some cases don't use you. If that, I don't know if that makes sense or not.
Oh, it makes total sense. And there are some organizations that will help service members translate their resume to where, you know, corporate America can understand the value that they bring. And to bring it back, you know, on the spouse side, some of the companies that have made it a concerted effort to hire military spouses will say that they have had some of the highest success rates with those military spouses. I was talking to one recently, JP Morgan Chase, they're one of our partners, and they've been doing some pilot programs where they have cohorts of military spouses. And when we were talking about why that is, it was the answer was really funny but true, which is, what could you possibly throw at a military spouse that they wouldn't be able to look at, take 2 seconds, and handle?
Nothing.
Because that's your job.
Yeah,
that's your whole job. Handle it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I tell you what. Somebody asked me one time, he says, being a sergeant major in the Army, who do you talk to for advice? Oh, well, I talk to my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just a sounding, she's a great person, a sounding block for me on a lot of different issues. So, yeah, they, again, we could talk for hours about the sacrifices of military spouses and what they really bring to our country and to the military. It's unbelievable. And I just have so much respect for all military spouses.
You know, the other thing that I wanted to mention, too, is what you were saying about how we got to start that transition period earlier. It's so true. I mean, my husband had, I think, 4 jobs in 1 year or trying to figure out what he was going to do. And that is just everyone's story. But one of the biggest positives for a military family's success in veteran life is a military spouse who has a job, because it is tough. It's tough on the entire family. And there is something else I didn't mention that is always, always, always an issue, and that's childcare.
Who's
the childcare provider? It's expensive. Yeah. Who is the childcare provider? I mean, you have CDCs that are full. You have expensive daycares out in town. It's just hard to get a spot. I don't know if you know anyone. I know that you have a grandson, but when you're trying to get in daycare these days, it's like before you even are pregnant. Like you thought about maybe having a baby one day, and it's time to get on the wait list.
Yeah, I'll put my name on it.
Right.
I never thought about that. I'm gonna have a baby in 9 months. Let's start it now. It'll take me 2 years to get through the process.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good part. We should talk about that a little bit too. Hey, we need to take another quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about an issue that's faced me when I was in the military, PCSing. So again, Bessa, don't go anywhere. Stay right there. We'll be right back. Now here's a word from one more of the organizations that helped make this show possible.
You're watching Your Next Mission video podcast, brought to you in part by Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision.
Part of transitioning out is that dental and vision insurance breaks off from your medical insurance.
Vision and dental is very important to be able to enjoy your retirement.
Blue Cross Blue Shield makes a transition so much easier.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're blessed to be here today with Bessa Picciotti, Chief Executive Officer of National Military Family Association. Remember, this is your show. We know that there's so many issues that directly affect you, and we want to address each and every one of them. So please, please, as I said many times, reach out to me. Tell me what topics you'd like us to cover. You can leave me a message at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. And guess what? I'll reach back out to you. Bessa, PCSing. I love talking about PCSing.
I bet.
Oh, my goodness. I could probably write a book about PCSing. It's another area brought this, you know, it's got so many challenges in the military family. Let's talk about it. Tell me about PCSing.
Well, first of all, PCS stands for Permanent change of station, which is the funniest thing I've ever heard because there's nothing permanent about it.
No, it's only you just keep rotating, rotating. There's nothing permanent. Exactly. No, I got you.
The least permanent thing that you could possibly do. But, you know, it's you're doing it every 2 to 3 years, yeah. And it is not an easy task. Anyone who's ever PCS knows your stuff gets lost. It doesn't get there on time. You have someone else's couch in your house. You're living in a hotel. I mean, if you have PCS, you probably have 10, 20 stories of your own. Absolutely. About how tough this is. And then there's all the things you pay for that aren't included in a military move. Like, you know, all the things under your sink that you end up having to get rid of and buy again, all the things in your refrigerator, the couch that doesn't fit in your new place, all of these things just continue to add up. And PCSing is always one of the most stressful parts of military life. This has always been the case. Any study you look at from years and years and years, it's one of the most stressful because it affects every single person in your household. Deployment, obviously extremely stressful for a lot of different reasons. PCSing, you're just taking the whole family to a new place, dropping them, and all of the issues that come with that. And so because of all these things, you know, everyone's been looking at a solution. What can we do? Because in the past, there were 900-ish moving companies that were handling this. So they decided to move it into one, consolidating oversight all into this one contractor. And the contractor's name is Home Safe Alliance. So you're doing the math. We went from 900 to one, right? And we're talking about 400.
So there's 900 companies that were moving stuff, and now there's one?
Oh, I don't know. Now there's one, right? Oh, no. And so, and they're working with all their contractors, and this is brand new, and they're trying to work out a system, but this is a $20 billion contract over several years to try to get things streamlined. Well, they have not been streamlined at all. You know, about 400,000 military families PCS every year. So far, this year, about 1,000 have PCS through this Home Safe Alliance, the new company, and they have not been going well. There's all kinds of issues, the same issues that I've been talking about, delays when getting your stuff picked up, inconsistent communication, you know, notifications that your things have been shipped, but they actually are still at the original location. And a lot of this comes from the fact that companies don't want to subcontract to Home Safe Alliance because of these low payment rates. So this is, I think, a little bit like a lot of government contracts you hear where someone bids and then things are really, really expensive.
Well,
and
what
then,
they do is they, when they bid, what they bid is they have a lower bid.
You that's
know,
right.
Yeah. They try to outbid everybody. And then when they get the job, they don't have the money or the resources to do the work. That's really what the
that's
problem
right.
is. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, so what's happening is all these families are saying, hey, we're going to do it ourselves. And that used to, as you know, be called a Diddy move, but now they're calling it, I want to say a PPM. PPM is the new name for it, but it's expensive and families aren't getting the amount that it takes when you move like you used to. So a family moving from California to Arizona, for example, in the legacy system, they would have been reimbursed $15,000 for like an 11,000 pound shipment, which is pretty standard. Now under this contract, same move, they're only receiving $7,500. So it has not kept up with inflation. It has not kept up with costs, and families are footing these bills out of pocket, and we are just creeping into PCS season. So they've only done 1,000 moves, and you know, May, June, July, August, like this is when all military families are moving. So we are trying to stop this train before it leaves the building, and all of these families are in this same situation.
Yeah, everything's connected to retention right there. When you're talking about this stuff, and we're having problems PCSing with the family or moving your household goods and all this stuff, you think when this young service member gets ready to reenlist in the military, no matter what service they are, the wife is going to say or the spouse is going to say, no way, I'm not going to go through that again. The other thing I'll tell you is I PCS, but I always went ahead of my wife. So I'd always, you know, leave her there. She had to load everything up, right? Load everything up. And then I would go somewhere and then I'd get everything situated and I'd, you know, contact the appropriate people and then she'd come over there. Except for one time. When I got out of the Army as a Sergeant Major of the Army, I actually stayed there. We loaded the trucks, and I told them, what a pain in the butt this is. It was terrible. And well, I never could have done it. But she was a trooper. She did it all, never complained about anything. So it was really good. I don't know. I was going to ask you, what can we do to improve the situation? But I'll probably, if on the contracting side, need more contractors. I can see that right now. But what else can we do to improve the situation? I don't know. Is there something?
Yeah, we brought up a few things. What needs to happen is to protect those reimbursement rates, first of all. Also getting some oversight over those moves so that it can be managed, you know, by the services and not necessarily by this broad entity. Improving transparency and communication is key. And also really just holding this new company accountable. The thing is, and I've seen it with other companies too, when things aren't going well, they're inundated. You know, they're getting messages, they're getting emails, they're getting calls, they're getting all of these things on Facebook and Twitter and everywhere else. But instead of responding, and I know that they don't have the answers because this is a huge problem and it's very widespread, but they've shut down comments in a lot of places. And families don't take well to that, and nor should they, because this is their stuff and this is their lives. And not only that, this is our country that they're making this move for.
Well, let me say one more thing, Tim, and I just popped in my brain here a little bit. Years ago, you could only ship one car. I don't know if that's still the process, but we don't update the regulations fast enough because of the process. So I remember when I was getting out, I was trying to get people to say, well, I've got two cars now, so every time I PCS, I had to sell a car. Well, why can't we update the process a little bit? Let me ship two cars if I got two cars, because I'm spending a lot of money, getting rid of a lot of stuff. So they just need to continue to update. And again, the person that decided we only needed one of anything, I don't know why they still have a job. That's a crazy decision. That's for doggone sure. Yeah. Bessa, this has been a great discussion. But before we go, tell us what the National Military Family Association is focused on in 2025. Also, I understand that you have a couple events that are coming up real soon. What are those? Tell us about the events and tell us about your program, your association there.
Yeah, I think a lot of what we're focused on is what the whole country is focused on right now, which is sort of seeing all of these changes that we're seeing with the new administration, how that is trickling down to families and what we need to do about it. Mm-hmm. For example, a lot of this federal job loss is really impacting military families, especially veterans and military spouses who have always been told and always experienced that federal jobs are a great option for someone who wants to serve their country. Mm-hmm. So military spouses are disproportionately losing their jobs, and also because, you know, a lot of the job loss is in probationary employment, and you're always probationary when you move every 2 to 3 years because you're getting a new job over and over and over again. So there's things
can't you transfer from one job to another? I thought if you got permanently hired, you could transfer out to another. Yeah.
You can transfer, but it's a new job and you're on probation again. And
every time you transfer, you're on probation again. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not if you get a promotion within where you are, but if you transfer, you are. So, you know, military spouses are really being impacted there. And then we're also very worried about programs, as you mentioned before, when we're trying to tighten our belts, what gets cut first? It's these programs that support military families. So coming up on May 9th, we have our annual event called State of the Military Family, where we really are going to talk about all of these issues a bit more in depth. But then in the afternoon, we're doing something called Operation Advocacy. So we're bringing in military spouses, and then we have elected officials, storytelling professionals, inspirational speakers who are going to talk to this group of military spouses about what you can do about it, what you can do about it in your community, nationally, personally, because we do have a lot of power as military spouses. We're strong, we're resilient because we have to be. So just given those tools for them to do that job even better is what we're hoping to do at that event. So the other things that we have going on this year are our longstanding and our core signature programs. One of them is our Military Spouse Scholarship, which is a scholarship that we give out to hundreds and hundreds of military spouses, get awarded funds for their education, their professional license, their entrepreneurial endeavor. And it's really a vote of confidence in them, as well as support for their family, because this is a long-term play. They are working on long-term employment. And then we have our Operation Purple Camp, which are camps all around the country where military kids go, and they are just around kids that are like them who understand military life. They have to leave their phone and their electronics at home. So that right there makes it all worth it. I'll tell you what, because I have three kids who can't put their phones down or their computers. So they go out into nature and they do a lot of outdoor programming that focuses on things like stress tolerance, resilience, team building, communication, all of these skills that are so important in military life. And they're able to bring that home and they are better prepared for the challenges ahead.
You know, I've always told everybody we should put more money into any kind of enduring education program for kids because those are our future and stuff like that. And we need to do a lot more of that in the future. You mentioned spouses. We've been talking about spouses. I don't make any decision in my house unless my wife allows me to make a decision. I mean, she's in charge, and I think it's the same. We can talk about it anywhere you want. You can say I'm in charge of my house. The answer is, I don't know how they do it. They take over. You know, they really should be running the country. In fact, they are running the country. We just don't know about it.
Hey, they've had to take over for so long.
Oh,
so,
you know. Let them take over. I'll follow them. I'll move right behind them.
You're spoken like someone who's been married for a very long
time.
Well,
I realize, in fact, the older I get and the longer we've been married, you know, if my wife says something, I say, okay, I don't care. I mean, I just sort of do it. I don't even question anymore. She said, go do this. No, I just, right. She said, do the dishes. Sure. I'm not arguing because I can't win. I never win.
Important life lesson.
So if you want to stay married for a long time, just kneel. Hey, this has been a great discussion. Any final thoughts? Maybe something you missed or you want to, I know something you want to share with the audience, maybe something you want to reemphasize, anything there? You want to leave with the audience here.
Yeah, thank you. I really just want to thank your audience because if you are tuned in and you're still listening right now, that means you care about military families. And that means the world to me. I mean, military families are foundational. They're not an extra to take care of, but they're foundational to our military and to our country. So thank you so much for taking the time to hear about what's happening in military family life and wanting to learn more about what we all need to do to make it better.
Bessa, you got to come back at least once a year. Let's talk about military
family.
Every chance we get, we ought to talk about military spouses and the kind of sacrifice they make. And I'll just let you know that we're here to help you in any way that we can. That's for doggone sure, because it's important for our country, and it's certainly important for me personally to do all we can to take care of the military family. So thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you. I truly appreciate you.
God bless. Thanks again to Bessa Picciotti for being with us today, and she's just a wonderful person. I'm Jack Tilley, a 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. And you've been enjoying Your Next Mission video podcast. And thank you for joining us. Log on to our website at yournextmission.org and leave me a review. I always say I hope it's a good one. But if it's a bad one, I guess I could take that one too. While you're there, you can visit our nonprofit and corporate partners who have jobs and services available that can assist you in your transition from the military. And check out our job board in partnership with Recruit Military and Upline, where you can create your own personal profile that will match you just the right job real time. You can follow me on my personal social media page, never thought I'd ever say that, on Facebook, X, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Rumble. And if you like what we're doing with Your Next Mission, please click on that subscribe button below. And don't forget to click on the bell to receive notifications about all of our upcoming video podcasts. Remember, we want to hear from you. Please leave me a message or send me a message at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatelly@yournextmission.org. Thanks again to Bessa for joining us today. And I probably said it through the show, but military spouses are the backbone of our military. Now, we always say the non-commissioned officer corps is the backbone of the military. Well, guess what? The spouses are right behind pushing them up, making sure that they're doing the right kind of things. They sacrifice so much for all of us. They're there all the time. They're doing the things that people have no earthly idea that they're doing. I tell you, I deployed a lot in my military career, and I was always gone. Guess who took care of everything? The education, the kids, the growth, the problems, the issues. It was a military spouse. And so we don't do enough to support the military spouse. So we need to do more. We need to do all we can to make sure that they have employment or whatever the heck they need, because they are God's gift. That's for doggone sure. Thanks for watching, and thanks to New Mind Studios and, of course, our sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue Global, USAA, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental, and Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision. We appreciate all you do for our military. And as always, see you on the high ground. Hurrah!
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.